Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today interview series. We feel lucky to be able to talk to so many smart, passionate, and knowledgeable people in healthcare. Now, we're taking our favorite interviews and sharing them with you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy perspectives on the world of health IT.
Hey everyone, I'm John Lin, the founder and chief editor at Healthcare IT Today. We're excited to bring you another in our series of interviews with top leaders in health IT. And our guest today is Abhinav Shashank. He's CEO and co-founder at Innovacer. And Dr. David Nace, he's chief medical officer at Innovacer. Welcome, guys.
Thank you so much for having us here.
Great to be here, John.
Yeah, excited for this discussion. I have to admit, a little surprised that Innovacer, you know, is hopping in the ambient clinical voice space. So excited to hear the story. But before we go there, Abhinav, why don't you kick us off? Tell us a little bit about yourself and Innovacer.
Perfect. My name is Abhinav Shashank, co-founder and CEO at Innovacer. At Innovacer, we're building out like a data platform that really helps healthcare delivery organizations primarily transform the way they're delivering care. Our general, like, I think intent has been that as you see more and more things across like the industry modernizing, you really needed like, I think, like a new platform that can really help health systems and providers and payers really transform how they're delivering care in general. Our general thesis was that if you can bring in data from like electronic health records, as well as data from claim systems, lab systems, and bring all of that together to create like a longitudinal view of the patient in general on top of a cloud platform, that could unlock so many use cases over a period of time. And that's what we sort of like started doing some 7 years ago with one health system in Des Moines, Iowa, with Common Spirit, as it's now called. And back then it was called like CHI and Mercy Health ACO. And then over a period of time, like I think we realized that once you've got like this patient record that constitutes like a long-term history of the patient in general, you could start doing things like value-based care enablement. So we built out like our first product, which was InGraph, a population health analytics tool, helps health systems look at what does their populations look like, who are the risky patients, how do things happen, and things of that nature. As that started happening, we started realizing that like, okay, this is great. Now we know who the patient is, and we also know like so many different like insights around the patient. How do we now put it like, I think, in the care delivery ecosystem? Like, who are the people who really can drive some change using this data and using this analytical insights per se? So we built out like our first project product, which was called like, I think, InCare, a software workflow for care managers, which is very data driven, puts them like a work list in front of them that who are the highest risk patients, who do you want to call, what are that they're struggling with, how is their risk pattern sort of really been, and then they are able to really look at that and make sure that they're reaching out to the right patients and helping manage risk better. We then launched, I think, like a series of products with different stakeholders in mind. We built like InNote, which was our product for providers and provides the same insights for providers at the point of care. We built InConnect, which was like, I think, like a patient outreach tool, which is similar for like patients. And so we were trying to connect like all stakeholders of care, like using this common cloud platform and insights layer that we had sort of like built out. And as we did that, like I think over the last 5, 6, 7 years, we now have like close to 100 health systems and provider groups using our platform to really drive like value-based care enablement and their transition towards value. We also started realizing that most health systems were starting to come to us saying that now that I have all of this like patient information, can I now start using some of this to really reach out to patients and like manage patient experience better? So we then like, I think 3 years ago, like started our journey towards like pillar two of our strategy, which was like, how do you use the same platform and information to drive better patient experiences per se? And that's grown really well. We've been like, I think we've launched like a CRM product. We've launched a contact center product. We'll be launching a marketing automation product tomorrow morning as well. We've also basically like plan to build out like some other capabilities on the experience pillar per se. That's basically been like a little bit of the journey. And then the last year or so, like more and more people have basically talked about productivity and also the fatigue basically becoming at levels which we've never seen before in general. So a lot of our customers basically like came and said that the number one problem that they are solving right now is how do we make sure that physicians really get to focus on what they do best, which is like providing care, and all of the things that are around them, how can we basically reduce some of that burden for them so that all of the burnout issues that we are seeing with providers is getting reduced. So that is when we decided that around 6 months back that we would start thinking about productivity as a pillar on the same data platform, using that data and enabling technologies like generative AI to really solve productivity and improve basically physician experience to a certain extent. So our first product therefore like was like surprise like a scribing tool, which I think like there are a ton of, but I think the way we basically thought we would be different is that we have so much patient context that we've built up on the data platform, and then if you merge that with the scribing technology as voice ambient listening, voice creating SOAP notes, doing differential diagnosis and things of that nature, that then becomes like a very powerful tool for providers to use and therefore like increase efficiency per se. So that's a long-winded way of like telling you like how we got to the scribing tool.
No, I mean, I think that's why I mentioned that I was slightly surprised when you announced, you know, having an ambient clinical voice solution. You know, on one end, it wasn't surprised because you churn out products, you know, as fast as anyone in the industry. But on the other end, I was like, you have a lot of products to sell already. Do you need something else? So it's interesting to hear that progression, you know, in the pillars that you're focused on. David, what would you add to kind of the story behind InScribe and this movement towards doing ambient clinical voice at Innovacer?
Yeah, I would add two things. One is, you know, Don Berwick at IHI said many, many years ago, 3 decades ago, that we ought to think about the triple aim, right? How do we improve quality of care? How do we reduce the cost of care? And then also, how do we improve the experience of the patient? What we did learn, then we talked about the quadruple aim, Institute of Medicine, and that it's also about the wellness of the workforce or the experience of the workforce as well. So these are the four aims. If we take a look at the way the journey has been in transforming healthcare, it's been really focused on cost and quality, and yet costs still tend to be a problem. I think it's many times because people have lost sight of the experience side. Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at the experience of physicians, since that's what InScribe is really aimed at helping to improve, and also the patient experience as well. So I've been around, graduated medical school back in the 80s, early 80s, and it's been a long journey. We didn't have computers when I started working.
Changed a little bit.
That's right. In fact, I still remember in my residency when, you know, the internet really was starting to become useful, and we used to click on another web page, a URL, and it would take another minute for that to load. So things have changed a lot. So many of us that are physicians spend 12 to 14 years learning how to do what we came into the business of healthcare to do, which is to take care of patients and to provide good quality care. Over the years, though, what happened is we found that the usual things that gave us satisfaction in doing work seemed to be dropping, where the clinical or the clerical opportunity to do more regulatory work, to do more documentation, to do more administrative duties kept increasing. So with the advent of the electronic health record, we thought all of that was going to get easier. And for me, I was quite surprised. I mean, I was excited about bringing electronic and digital to healthcare. But what I found was to write a structured note took more time. Instead of 30 seconds, it would take me 2 minutes. And then as these various PDFs and sources of documentation and electronic health record kept compiling up, it took me longer and longer to find something. I had to search through four pages of a structured note to find the two lines that I was looking for that really added to the quality of care that I was trying to deliver. So it became kind of frustrated. You know, the regulations that were tied to the to the electronic health record increase, the administrative task. And so it took me longer facing the computer while I was with a patient. And then I also found that I had work I had to take home, what's often referred to as pajama time now. And so what we now know, fast forward to today, is over 65% of physicians experience this thing called burnout. They're feeling not as satisfied in their job because they're doing more clerical work and administrative work. You know, it's not as gratifying, and it feels like you're not valued for those 12 to 14 years you put into going to medical school. You're spending less time actually taking care of patients, and this is where experience comes into play. The experience of a physician is gratifying when you're actually connecting with the patient. You're developing empathy, you're understanding them, and you're focused on what they're saying and thinking while they're talking, while you're making that personal connection. Medicine is a healing art, right? It's not an administrative task.
Some might argue it's become an administrative task, but it should be a healing art. Is that right?
It should be a healing art, absolutely. And if you think about the experience of the patient, and I've had so many different people tell me this. In fact, I've experienced it myself going through healthcare, is that the physicians, often their back is turned to you or their side, and they're focused on doing things like looking things up or typing things into the computer, and they're not focused on you. So the feelings of trust that are so important in the healing process are also missing. So there's been a disconnect for both the patient and the physician, and that leads to this thing called burnout. And if you think about all the extra time with pajama time increasing, more administrative tasks, feeling less valued of work, it's not surprising that a significant amount of physicians are thinking, if I had to do this again, I wouldn't go into this practice. A lot of people are actually 1 in 5, according to the American Medical Association, 1 in 5 physicians are thinking of leaving the profession in the next 2 years. And 1 in 3 are thinking about reducing the amount of time that they're spending practicing. So here we are post-pandemic, where workforce shortage is a big issue. And physicians aren't the only clinical folks that are experiencing burnout either. You know, we're seeing more and more people thinking of leaving the workforce at a time we need more people in the workforce. So this idea of using AI, using this deep, robust data set that we have, these patient profiles, this patient 360, with all of this data that comes together in a data platform, and then leverage that along with being able to transcribe the note and have, you know, generative AI, conversational AI, listen to the patient and the physician, automate a lot of these tasks, make it a lot simpler, and allow people to return to the art or joy of medicine, making that connection with the patient, engendering the trust, developing empathy, getting greater understanding, not multitasking, and really being able to focus back on the quality of care and serving the patient. So that's what this is all about.
Yeah. I mean, epic and chill doesn't quite resonate as much as Netflix, I think. No doctor wants to do pajama time, right? I mean, it's like the rest of us. None of us like it, the administrative job. And you described perfectly, David, the onerous reimbursement and regulatory requirements that EHRs represent and have been foisted upon them. So yeah, 100%. This is why Ambient Clinical Voice is so exciting. Abhinav, maybe you could dive in here. Talk about how your solution, InScribe, compares to the litany of others, right? You go to Healthcare IT Today, search for Ambient Clinical Voice, you'll see them all. Suki, Nabla, OnPoint, Abridge, Augmedix. I could list them all, right? AWS is in it, Nuance, of course. How do you think it compares to these others in the industry? And how do you differentiate yourself?
Yeah, I think one, it does basically what everyone else does. Like, so that's the base requirement, right? Like, so it listens, it transcribes that, it then basically creates like a SOAP note, right? Like, that's a standard format in which we basically, like, I think, like, do things. So this is like, I think, like, pretty base. Almost everyone sort of really does this. So now I think, like, the place at which, like, we start driving differentiation is that, like, if you are on our data platform, it also pulls in like patient context for the same patient, which therefore is like now starting to get differentiated, right? Like, because a lot of things that doctors end up writing in the SOAP note is also basically patient context that comes from historical like information, right? Mm. Like, and that is what Pajama Time is generally about. They're looking like, I think, at past records. They're like, I think, trying to like just make sure that everything is sort of like documented that way. We then, so that's, I think, like one lever of differentiation where we think like, I think like the product has generally been like, I think, far more better received. Like, our initial test of like, I think, 100 physicians sort of like showed like what, like a 9-point-something basically, like 9.4 or 9.5, like on NPS, right? Like, which is, they're like very, very happy, like on a scale of 10, like I think on seeing some of this. So the other thing is basically that because of all of the, like, we've been a data company through and through, right? Like from where we basically got started like 10 years ago, like we've been a data company. This is what we live and breathe, right? Like, and so like, I think we are working through like a lot of like our differential diagnosis product, which is going to be the second product that really gets added to the same product, but the second feature that gets added to the product is going to be differential diagnosis, which therefore like allows for some kind of differential diagnosis by the AI to be put there, that, and it's up to the doctor whether to sort of really accept that or take that into consideration or not, but it definitely sort of really helps drive like some standardization of care and like some things of that nature. Then we are also sort of we can write back into every most EHRs, because like interoperability platforms, we've been doing this for like 6-7 years. We've been the leader in data platforms and interoperability platforms in KLAS and like all other sort of like categories. And therefore, like, it's far more interoperable than like two people sitting in a garage and saying that we have like, I think, like ambient like technology. Everyone can build it. Like, I'm saying, like, I think, like, it's not very hard to build like a ambient technology, but all of the security layers, all of the interoperability layers, all of the data insights that we've basically, I think, like added, just makes it like a far more comprehensive like product, right? Like, it's a finished car. It's still not like, I think, us transitioning from like one place to the other. It's like a finished car, like to a certain extent. And then like, I think like we have a series of 36 features that we want to sort of like launch over the next maybe like year or two, like everything from like prior auth and like capabilities that like add administrative burden to like providers in general. We want to like add like a lot of those capabilities onto the product as well. So I think like just because of the fact that we've been doing this and like living this for a really long period of time, we know some of these things. How do you like risk quality insights basically embedded there, like so that you can do population health better, some bit of like utilization and prior auth basically like built there, like so that it like removes that like administrative burden. A lot of those things that we will add as features, I think like we will just be like so much better and quicker from out there, just because of like, I think like we've been doing this for a period of time. So I think like our general view on this is that it's probably going to be the most comprehensive like product. Like, again, like it should be, like, we're not making any claims as yet, but like we think as we sort of really like work through like some of these things, it should definitely be like one of the most comprehensive ambient technologies that are out there in healthcare.
An ambitious vision. David, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the space is certainly heating up, and you pointed to that very well. You know, ever since ChatGPT came out, everybody's excited about the ability to have the system listen to you and be able to generate a voice or text and be able to record it. And I think there's a lot of players out there. It depends on what their core business is. So we see people that, you know, their core business is from the dictation and scribing business. And that's kind of interesting because that's what generative AI or conversational AI can do. We've got others that are AI leading companies and they're doing what, you know, they want to do and providing some form of AI. We've got the big tech companies and we know who the big five are. And, you know, they're adding to their toolkits. I think for us, we have always focused as a data platform. And it's, you know, there's no standards, very little standards in healthcare data. And we have spent the past 10 years, the past decade, mapping data, being able to unify data, create these patient records that are complete and holistic, and leveraging that to provide insights at the point of care. So we've done that for quite some time. We've had a widget that pops in on the screen, provides information about quality of care, either preventative quality or gaps. What we mean by gaps are things that are missing in their treatment plan. Like you have a diabetic, they haven't gotten an A1C recently, it'll remind the physician of that. So these are what we call quality gaps. We also know that people, because of these requirements, are having to document things electronically and code the diagnosis and the treatment that they're giving. So we provide coding information as well. And so we've always done that. We've got this point of care widget. Now we're adding this Sarah or the inscribe, the ability to actually listen to the conversation and be able to record the note, have the physician be in control, review the note, see other diagnoses that are built on that comprehensive patient 360 degree record that we have from all these sources, and be able to prompt them with, how do you improve quality for this patient? How do you do more preventative care, quality gaps? And how do you effectively code the work you're doing so that you can be paid for what you're doing? So this is a key concept that we've done to tackle into the work we've been doing to give insights at the point of care over the years.
Interesting. Well, yeah, I'm quickly believing that the Ambient Clinical Voice solution is going to be the interface of the doctor. So you're definitely at an interesting place having the back end data solutions as well. So, David, you're a doctor, you know, obviously a longtime doctor. talk to us, what does the workflow for a clinician look like? Is it on the phone? Is it microphones in the room with a desktop? How do you approach it? You know, do they click record? What's the process? Well, you know, what does that workflow look like for the clinician?
Great question. So nothing in terms of the workflow for meeting the patient, spending time with the patient really changes. So it's not a big lift for the physician. It does make it much easier, however. So instead of having their back to the patient with the facing the computer, they can greet the patient and then begin this process. Now, if they have, we have two different solutions. We have an enterprise solution. If they have the existing data platform, as an organization, that really is a big value add, because we can leverage all that existing data to add to, supplement, and richly contextualize the notes, the recommendations, the differential diagnoses. We also have a web-based version, a very lightweight version. It's meant for a much broader audience. It's easy, quickly to adapt. It's just load it, start using it. For that, it doesn't have that rich context of the data, underlying data underneath it, obviously, but it does do the transcription, the dictation, the creation of the notes, and some differential diagnosis, which we've been able to add to by adding some third-party information regarding the medical record for that patient. So that's the background of this for the two solutions, but I'll walk you through it.
Yep.
So start the computer, you're in the patient note, which most people would start. And we have that widget that I mentioned before that we've had for quite some time, the point of care solution. It'll pop up in the upper right-hand corner, regardless of what kind of EHR you have. You'll see Sarah there now. You can click on Sarah and it will ask permission from the patient to be able to record the session. So that's very important, as you know. So click start after the patient agrees, and it'll start a transcription for the process. So basically now you can actually just focus on the patient, start to ask questions, develop that relationship, and Sarah will be recording the entire time. When you're done, go ahead and click it. You can review the note. You can go over the recommendations. It will be differential diagnosis in terms of potential recommendations up to the clinician. They're in full control of making decisions. They can choose to add things to the diagnosis, if they have that enterprise version, they'll have quality gap information and they'll have coding gap information as well. We're actually looking for some additional features down the road to add to that. So it makes the interaction with the patient much more efficient, allows you to focus on the patient, gives much more robust information, and then allows you to, once you've reviewed it, you have the enterprise version, just interface it back into the computer. It'll go back into the right place in the electronic health record. If you have the web-based version, it's just a quick, like we all do, click, cut, paste, and then put it into your electronic health record. If you have one that not one of the major electronic health records that we currently work with. Nice. So that's a quick nutshell.
Okay, and how much of that's automated with technology, or are there humans in the background? Obviously, you have the doctor human in the foreground, but is it all technology, or is there humans involved?
I have to share with you a story because there is not, other than the clinician being in control and being able to make the decisions themselves. But my father, who is no longer with us, he used to drive with me in the car, and I had Waze or Google Maps, and he used to say, "Who is that lady, and how does she know where you are?" So yeah, there's no lady, there's no humans in the back. It's really the system itself that's doing the ambient listening and
that's funny. We call that Gypsy. That's her name, is our GPS. So you know, she's part of the family, I guess, in some ways. That's interesting, but great. So you know, all technology in the background to do it. Everyone, obviously, you learn from what's happening. Yeah, everyone's doing the same. Abhinav, how about integration with the EHR? You know, David talked a little bit about that, but does this work with all EHR? You focus on specific ones. How are you approaching EHR integration?
Yeah, no, so firstly, I think like to the last question, like, I think like we're thinking about like very, very creative ways, our general basically intent or ask from our engineering teams is like, how can we make doctors Iron Man? And so we've basically been toying with basically what can we do with like a Google Glass type of concept, what can we basically do with gestures and things of that nature. So I think like there is a lot of like cool products that we are like thinking about right now, which hopefully, like, I think because you talked about experience, right? Like hopefully we can give like a Tony Stark experience to like every doctor, like over a period of time, is sort of like one of the engineering challenges that we've picked up. But like, nice. That aside,
interesting. I'll sell you my old Google Glass then. I'm sure it's something newer, but.
I will add to that. I think Abhinav mentioned that we can create a SOAP note, which is a follow-up note. We can also create a consult note or initial note, much more complex in terms of its actual structure. So that's really important. What's really exciting is as we look forward, we're starting to look at being able to actually do referrals in the workflow, be able to do orders, have a variety of other languages that we currently don't have, because that'll be very important going forward. Doing chart summaries. So there's lots of things that we're looking forward to. And as there's so many EHRs in the market, we're looking forward to increasing beyond the major ones that we currently work with, which is, you know them well, Epic, Cerner, Athena. There are others that we want to increase the robustness with the interface with and make it much easier to be able to get these sort of transcribed and high quality notes into the system, so it is much easier.
So is that the approach now? Is the ones you already integrate your current product with, the major ones, you have some sort of integration? If not, of course, there's always copy paste available.
That's right.
Yeah, and like I think that's sort of like the intent, and we like covered most EHRs, right? Like write back capabilities, like into EHRs, we are still sort of like I think like working with like I think most. Major ones, as Dr. Ness sort of like mentioned, but like from an integration perspective, like we already covered like almost, let's say, like I think like top 70%, 80% of the EHRs, which like I think like from a coverage standpoint is probably like 95-97% of coverage of physicians per se. So I think like that's sort of like how we are generally thinking about it. Like to your point on EHRs, like I think like our hope is that it supercharges like EHR adoption, like and like really makes it, I think, like incredibly powerful as well, right? Like we've seen Epic and Cerner and like Athena Health and like and everyone sort of like say that like this is the technology that we are excited about, and hopefully, like I think, like as we are talking to some of them, like it supercharges and really makes like I think like the EHR experience a far more delightful one than it is today, like for physicians.
Interesting. So, David, I think we have to offer this to the doctor as well. Talk to us about what the clinician has to change in the way they're talking in the exam room. You said, you know, do the visit like normal. Or there are, you know, talk about not just the, you know, do they have to change anything, but also what's the onboarding look like? Is there any sort of training or suggestions that you have? I mean, we've heard some, you know, in our series, obviously you have to articulate it. It can't see what you're seeing or, you know, see what you're thinking, you know, at least till Elon figures out the neuro, whatever. So talk to us. How do you onboard clinicians? Is there anything they need to change to make this work effectively?
No, I think for our enterprise clients, they've been using our point of care tool. So it's an easy click on the Sarah, be able to start the process, usually one and done, and people kind of get it. It goes back to what I always learn in medicine is see one, do one, teach one. So it's very simple in that regard. In terms of the workflow for the office visit, you know, it's really not that much different other than being much more efficient and being able to actually look and engage with the patient in a much more meaningful way. I think if where the microphone is, you know, there'll have to be some cognizant of that. So you can't walk away to the other side of the room and start talking toward the wall. So that's the one thing I think is going to change in terms of keeping in mind. But, you know, it does capture most of the room. So I think we're pretty good there.
Interesting. And talk about accuracy. I think it's been fascinating hearing how the various vendors are approaching accuracy. How do you all measure kind of the accuracy of your solution? What should people expect? And I'm not sure which one of you could address that better, but go ahead.
That's a great question because, you know, we've had a number of users of our product already. And because of that rich data context, particularly for our enterprise clients within the data platform itself, we're seeing a very, very high quality of the note that's being generated and the differential diagnosis. So the feedback we're getting is just tremendous. Abhinav?
Yeah. I think the way we are basically trying to measure it is that we are, for every note that got created like by a doctor, like we are asking them basically like rate it like on a scale of like 1 to 5, like on accuracy and both accuracy of transcription as well as accuracy of like the SOAP note creation. I think like we are somewhere in like on that like 10 scale, like our general feedback, like I think in the beta was 9.2 or something at an average, right? Like, so I think like we're happy, like it's not 10, right? Like, but like it's also not 5. Right, like, and I think like it gets better, like because we are receiving like consistent like feedback, and it therefore like is improving like with every interaction that we are having. And at the end of the day, like the doctor basically gets a note, and they can edit like anything and everything basically like on it. So I think like that's sort of really the intent, and that's why we did like a fairly rigorous beta before we sort of really like are launching the product. Like the last 2 or 3 months, like we've been doing like a lot of like internal and then like external testing to make sure that it's something that we can really like, I think, like go out to the market with.
You know, what's really exciting, John, is there's a number of measures now that can actually start to look at impact of this. So there is there's a market leading measure for burnout for physicians. So that's something that we can take a look at going forward, because not just the initial one time encounter, but let's look at the impact over time to the physician. Let's take a look at what's being called W over W. So it's WOW is work after work, very structured measure of, within an 8-hour set of patient engagement, how much time are you doing with documentation and work after that? So the term pajama time is not well-defined, but the WOW is now a well-defined term that's being used in the industry. It's something else we can look at, particularly for our enterprise clients, and start to look at the impact on the experience, the efficiency, and productivity in healthcare.
Interesting. I like both those messages. Very interesting. And how about when it comes to specialty? You know, does this work for every specialty? Are you focused on a few specialties to start with, you know, and then you expand? Or, you know, how are you specialty specific? Talk to us how you're approaching that.
I think like a vast majority of our users today basically are ambulatory, in the ambulatory setting, I think like therefore like our primary care physicians. So that's what we've sort of like built it for. I think like as we basically go into like more specialty driven like use cases, we think it should scale there too. But I think we are going to sort of like learn through the process if physicians basically come up with, okay, like we want like a different format or different like structure, like all of those sort of things. We will sort of like, I think like think about that, but a large majority of like, I think the work that we've done is for primary care physicians and in the ambulatory setting like today.
Yeah, and there's no real barrier to doing this on an ambulatory setting for many of the specialists that are doing outpatient care. But as you know, as you get more into the inpatient environment, which is where many of the specialists spend their time, you come out of the cath lab, you want to write a note. It's a very different setting and a very different set of documentation experiences, something that we'll look forward to in the future. But for now, it's the ambulatory setting. And for ambulatory work and for specialists should not be a major challenge for us at all.
Great. Well, as I say, I think the first thing everyone that watches these videos wants to know is, can I get my hands on it? Can I try it out to see if it's real or is it Memorex, right? So where can people go to learn more? And definitely, I'm sure they'll ask for a demo.
Yeah. Well, you can go talk to Sarah, and you can just go to her website. It's www.inscribe.innovacer.com.
Awesome. Well, this is really interesting. You know, like I said, I was slightly surprised when you guys came out with this because you have so many other products. But, you know, as you describe it, it does make sense. And I've often started to come with the idea that, you know, ambient clinical voice is just the beginning. Eventually, it's going to be a true AI assistant. And, you know, everyone else is going to be saying, okay, where do I get the quality measures? Where do I get the that you already have? So I think it's fascinating that you're coming at it from with that included. So I'm excited to see how this evolves over time. And thanks for taking time to talk with us. And thanks everyone for watching and listening. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com or search for Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcasting application. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.